God has always spoken through people. He's always used people to try to reconcile humanity back to the Father. See, in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, it says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son. See, He appointed His Son the heir of all things. But with all that being said, I want to go to 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 20. And if you could put it on the screen for me, I want to read because it's important for us to know. Knowing this, I'll wait for it to get on the screen. I don't want to be in a rush. Come on. Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Okay, if you have it, I'm going to read. 2 Peter 1 verse 20 says, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. See, God has always used somebody in this world to be carried along by His Spirit to try to reconcile us back to the Father, because we were never meant to live in this world separated from God. I want people to know, because I'm only 29 years old and I spent 27 and a half years of my life living in this world separated from God. I had no clue that He even existed. But He's always been here, and it's very important for us to know this. You see, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness hovered over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the water. See, God's Spirit has been here from the very beginning. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. So God has always been here. But what happens is we have drifted, humanity has drifted so far away from the truth that it's hard for us to see God. And it's very important that we get into His Word, because without His Word, we can never find out who He is. Come on. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration from God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. It gives us reproof of humanity, of creation, Genesis, the fall of man, Noah, the flood. It gives us reproof of everything that God has ever done, all His mighty works. It says it gives us doctrine, reproof. It is profitable for instruction and training in righteousness. So that the man of God, and ladies, I don't want to leave you out, so that the man of God and women of God can be perfect and thoroughly furnished into all good works. You see, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, if we don't get inside the Word, then we will live in the world and we will live in the way that seems right with man. The Bible says in Proverbs, there's a way that seems right with man, but in the end, it leads to their destruction. You see, we have to understand that before we came to God, we were all dead in our trespasses. We were dead in our sins. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world. See, the world teaches us that sin is okay. The world promotes sin on social media, on YouTube. It is rampant in the world right now. And you will live in the world and you will live in the way that seems right with humanity. But that's why it's important for us. I want to encourage the church this morning, because without having understanding and knowledge of God's Word, you can live in a way that you seem like you're right with God, but in the end, it will lead to your destruction. Come on. This is good. See, this is really good, because a lot of people don't like to preach on this, but my heart is sold out to preach on this, because it's very important for us to be in righteousness, man. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 that anyone who makes a practice of righteousness has been born of God. But anyone who makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. And you have to be aware of what kind of understanding that you have. What is sin and what isn't sin? See, in the Old Testament, God gave us a law. He gave us the law of Moses. He gave us 613 laws and 10 commandments and ordinances for us to live by. Because we were never meant to live by bread alone, but by every word. So with that being said, I want to go to Psalm 78. And I want to start at verse 5. And if we could please get this on the screen. Come on. Jesus. I want to read with this. Come on. We can't get it. I got a Bible right here. Come on. Jesus. All right. You guys ready? We're going to read. Verse 5. He established a testimony in Jacob, and he appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise, tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, and whose spirit was not faithful towards God. See, what happens is we grow up in the world and we never have people to teach us who our God is. We were meant to know Him from the beginning. We were never meant to live separated from God. And that's the problem with humanity in the world the way that it is today. People have not, they have no understanding. Paul says in Colossians 1, verse 9 and 10, he says, may you be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. But if you don't have understanding and wisdom of God's word and what is and what isn't righteousness, then you can live with the way that's not right. Paul, if I'm saying the same thing over and over again, Paul said it's always good for me to write the same things over and over to you to stir you up by way of reminder. Come on. Jesus. Come on. This is good. Amen. Praise God. Yes, Lord. Jesus. Wow. Okay. Now, so we have the law of Moses, right? Now, Romans 8. Verses 3, Romans 8, chapter 3, for chapter 8, verse 3 says, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. Because we were all born into sin, man. It's in our very own nature. It says it was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent His own Son in a body like the bodies that we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us. Why did He do it? He did it so that the just requirements of the law could be fully satisfied for us who no longer walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, God, Jesus came. What did Jesus do? When Jesus came, He was the Word of God made manifest. Jesus came. He went down to the River Jordan. He was baptized by John the Baptist. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and He lived in this earth, walking, living life by God's Spirit. He was coming to establish a new covenant, a new way of life for Christians, for God's people. God understood that we could never maintain righteousness in our own strength. So He established a new way, a new covenant, a new life so we can live by His Spirit. But you have to understand, in 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says, he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with Him. So when you were born again, you became one spirit with God. And God's Spirit lives within you. Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God that rose Jesus from the dead dwells within you. Come on. It says that He wants to quicken and give life to your mortal body. But if you don't have communion and relationship with the Holy Spirit, then you won't learn to live and yield to conviction. But you have to learn from the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I am the vine. If you abide in me, I will abide in you. But if you don't abide in His word, then the Holy Spirit can't prune. He can't clip that dead fruit off your tree. He wants to give you new fruit and new life. See, we were never meant to live in sin. Anger, bitterness, rage. I was a hateful person, man. I would wake up in the morning if I couldn't find my belt. I asked my mom and dad, they're here. Hey, mom, dad, love you guys. Listen, I would wake up in the morning time, and if I couldn't find my belt, I would scream and cuss and yell. I'd be like, ugh, I was so rageful. But that's what the world taught me. I didn't have morals. I didn't have God's word. Come on. The word of God is spirit and life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread. Whoever eats this bread and drinks this blood will never be thirsty, and they will never hunger. They will never thirst without His word. See, when He was talking to them, He said, the Spirit alone, John 6:63, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing, but the very words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. So you have got to get into the word and let the Spirit feed you. God's word is alive and active. Hebrews 4:12. His word is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Come on, you have to get in His word and let His spirit, let His word separate your soul from your spirit and be renewed in the spirit of your mind and be transformed into a new creation. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. But it takes constant practice, constant meditation on this word. You have to meditate on His word. Without His word, you are nothing. I promise you, if I didn't wake up in the morning, if I didn't pray, and if I didn't talk to God, and I didn't keep His word on my mind, I am in my flesh. No matter what I do, my flesh craves sin. And if I didn't meditate on His word, I would still be in bondage. I would still be in addiction right now. 2.5 years ago, I was a full-blown junkie, strung out on drugs and everything. But the Spirit of the Lord came in, and the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, man. He will give you freedom. He will free you. He wants to free you. He wants to quicken your mortal body. He wants to give you life. He's good, man. Now, Jesus. I want to go to James chapter 3. This is in the New Testament. Bishop makes it very clear when we're speaking on something to tell about the Old Testament and the New Testament. So coming from the New Testament, James chapter 3, verses 4, starting at verse 14, and we'll read through 18. Amen. It's on the screen. Praise God. Jesus. He's good, man. I love Him, man. I've been up all night trying to prepare a word for you guys. Because I love Jesus, man. He changed my life. Come on. James 3. You guys ready? Now, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. You see, the wisdom of the world is different from the wisdom of God. Come on, the wisdom from above, it says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and the fruit of goodness. It says it is impartial and not sincere. The wisdom from above, it does not seek its own. It is full of mercy. Come on. The reason I say this is because when Jesus came into the earth, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, Nicodemus came to Him. It was a Jewish leader. He came to Jesus. He said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God because no one can do these signs unless God is with them. And he said, truly, truly, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven without being born again. And what he said right after that, he said, truly, truly, are you a leader of the Jewish law? And he said, but you don't understand these things? He said, truly, truly, I tell you, I am from above. You are from beneath. See, Jesus came. Everything Jesus did, He did in direct relationship and communion with God. He always had God. Because He had the Spirit of God in Him without limit. So everything that He was teaching about spiritual wisdom. He was teaching about new life, new creation. He was teaching about us becoming holy and righteous and pure. Because humanity has Humanity has come into the world and so much evil is in the world that there's corruption and it's unspiritual, it's earthly, it's demonic wisdom, and I don't want people to live that way because there is a thing right now that's called false grace. False grace says, oh, God understands. Oh, I'm a human, man. God understands. My flesh is weak. Man, come on, man. God's spirit is always willing. Always willing. Yes, our flesh is weak, but God's spirit is always willing, and He can help you to be free. I'm telling you, man, my life was horrible. I lived from week to week, from paycheck to paycheck, man. I would go to work, and I would go to work, and I would live my life to get my next fix. My check, from check to check, I would pay $50 of rent, and every week my whole check would go to addiction. It would go in my veins, and I could never be free without God, man. Never without His Spirit. Man, God is amazing, man. He's good, man. Jesus came to give us life. He came to give us life. But in order for us to have life, we have to get into the Word. We have to let the Holy Spirit give us revelation and knowledge and understanding of who He is. You were never meant to live in the world and be glued to a TV. You were never meant to be stuck on Facebook and social media all your life. That's not how you're meant to live. You were meant to live by God's Word. He gave us His Word. God, in one of His commandments, God said, I am the Lord, thou God. Thou shalt have no other God before me. If you idolize a TV all day long, that's your God. That can become your God. You can't let that become your God, man. Don't let this world swallow you up. James says that God yearns jealousy for the spirit that is He put within you. And then right after that, He says that if you are a friend of the world, it makes you an enemy with God. You cannot be conformed to the world. Man, this is good, man. Jesus is good. Come on. Listen, God, Jesus said this because so many people say, oh, well, that's old covenant. That's old covenant. Yeah. Jesus said, do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the commandments. Jesus said, but I have come to fulfill them. Come on. So many people live with twisted grace. Oh, that's old covenant. That's old covenant. No, the reason Jesus died because He knew that we couldn't obtain righteousness in our own strength. So what He did is Jesus died on the cross, and His blood is the atonement for your sins once for all time. The Bible says that it eternally seals your redemption. Redemption, what does redemption mean? Redemption means being brought back to its original value as though you never missed it, as though you never ate off the tree, right? Because you could never fulfill it in your own strength. But that doesn't mean that you're saved by grace. You could continue to live in sin. That means that grace allows you to produce righteousness in your tree. And if you do fall, if you do fall short, we have an advocate with the Father who is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what that means. It means, see, John the Baptist said, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Repentance is ongoing. You have got to repent daily, man. Listen to me. The Bible says to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I used to have negative thoughts towards people, man. I used to think the worst thoughts towards people, man. But every time that happened, I had to take every thought captive and be renewed in my mind and no longer think that way. Jesus said to Peter, Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Peter said, some say this, some say the prophet, some say this. But he's like, who do you say I am? He said, you are the Son of God. And he said, yes. He said, clearly flesh and blood has not revealed that to you. And then right after that, Jesus said, I'm getting ready to be crucified. And Peter said, they shall not crucify you, Lord. He said, get behind me, Satan, for your mind is set on the things of man and not of God. Because he wasn't born again yet. He was still living in his flesh. The Spirit didn't come till after Jesus was crucified. And then after that, that's when he learned to live by God's Spirit. See, Jesus said, go into the earth and teach, make disciples of all nations and teach them everything that I taught you. See, when you read the Word of God, when you read 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Hebrews, Paul, all these, 1 Peter, they were writing to the saints, people who have came to Jesus. They were teaching them what Jesus taught them. So when you read that word, it's not for then, it's for now. Why would it change? Hebrews 13 verse 8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And I just don't want the church to be a part of this false grace treatment. Because it's twisted. It's demonic strategy set up from Satan to make you think that it's okay to sin and get away with it. Jesus never tried to sin and get away with it. Never. He never tried to. Ever. Praise God. Colossians 3 says, since your new life is hidden with Christ, set your mind on the things above and not beneath. Set your mind on the things from above and not on this earth. Because this earth is perishing, man. We are like the grass of the field. We are here one day and gone the next. But the Word of God abides forever. We have one life here, one opportunity, one life to live for Jesus while we're here. We have one chance of repentance. And you don't want to stand before God. The Bible said it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He is alive, man. Jesus is amazing. Last night I went to get my new wife, my beautiful wife. Praise God. So last night I was getting a Redbox movie. And I seen this woman, and she was hurting bad. And she's like limping like this, coming into Family Dollar. And I seen her. I said, man, God, you can take that. And her husband was with her. And I said, hey, excuse me, sir. He's like, yeah. I'm like, hey, man, look, man, I noticed your wife is limping, man. He's like, yeah, that's my wife. I'm like, yeah, man, if you don't mind, I would love to say a prayer for her, man. Okay. I was like, all right, but look, man, before I pray, I just want to encourage you and let you know why I believe this is going to happen for your wife. And I spread the gospel to him. I told him how I've been born again and God's Spirit lives in me and how I yield to his conviction and I'm led by his Spirit. And I had my shirt. It was a new shirt. I just made it. It has Jesus on the back and it says John 1:17. It says, for the law was given to Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And I said, look, I said, grace came through Jesus Christ. And I told her about the new covenant. I said, come on, I'm going to pray right now. And I laid my hand on her leg and I prayed. And she took her foot and she went up and she's like, wow, it's completely gone. She's stomping her foot on the ground. Like, completely stomping her foot on the ground. And she walked away like this, dude. Just like this. Come on. It's amazing, man. That's amazing. Like, I was telling her, like, when she got healed, I was jumping up and down. I was like, yes, yes. It's awesome, man. Come on, man. Christianity is fun. You know, it's amazing. You can see so many people. I've seen so many people be touched and healed, man. It's amazing. I've prayed for my mom. She's received healing. I've prayed for my brother. I've prayed for so many people, man. It's amazing. But it takes faith to please God, man. See, the Bible says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And if you're not seeking Him, man, you'll never tap into it. But you have to understand who you are. You have to understand who you are. See, the devil wants to try to get you into works. He wants to try to make you feel like you have to do something to be right with God. In the Old Testament, it was what you had to do to be right with God. In the New Testament, it's who you are because of what Jesus did for you. You don't have to do anything. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. Ephesians 2:9 says, salvation is not a reward for the good things that you have done. There's nothing you could ever do to obtain righteousness, ever. You can never do nothing to please God. God so loved the world that He gave His Son, so that anyone believed in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. He did not send His Son into the world to condemn you. There's no condemnation for you. No guilt, no shame. You don't have to feel that way. I wake up every day and I praise God. I say, thank You, God, that I'm right with You, God. Thank You for righteousness, God. Thank You, Lord God, for the fulfillment of the law, God. Thank You, Lord, for the finished work of the cross, God. Thank You that I don't have to do anything to please You, God, that You so love me, Lord. Because God is love. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 7, that love is patient, is kind. It never gives up. Love never fails. It never loses hope. And it endures forever. It endures through every circumstance. No matter what you have done, it doesn't matter what you have done, God loves you. He forgives you, and He's crying out for you. The Spirit of the Lord uses people to reconcile, and God is using every single one of us in this church. We are all growing. I like to tell people I'm 2.5 years old in Christ. 2.5 years old. I'm wearing spiritual Huggies right now. I'm a baby. I'm a baby in the Lord. I'm a baby. It's my new life. My old life was crucified. I'm a new creation. Praise God. Praise God. Man, it's just amazing, man. The Old Testament, the New Testament. I'm still growing. I still have so much to learn, but I'll never stop reading. But I just wanted to bring a word of encouragement. If I could get someone on the keys as I close for my first time ever. Praise God. Jesus. All right. See. All right. Now, I want to go into Judges chapter 14. 15, sorry. Judges 15. And just to kind of give you a fallback of what's going on right now. Samson, he had went to receive his wife, and they had actually given his wife up to another person. And Samson tied these foxes' tails together, and he lit them on fire, and he sent them through the Philistines, the enemy's territory. Now, you need to understand this, because when you start to pursue God and you start to pursue His Word, the enemy's going to pursue you. He's going to come and he's going to attack you, because he doesn't want you to build up God's kingdom. He wants to keep everyone out there in the world for His kingdom. Because he's relentless. He's ruthless. So the people came to Him. And they said, "Why have you come against us? We have come to bind Samson." And they came and they binded him and they tied him up, and they was getting ready to bring him into the hands of the enemy. And Samson was in his own strength. He was tied up. He couldn't do nothing. Now, Samson asked, said to them, "Swear to me that you will not attack me yourself." They said to him, "No, we will only bind you and give you into their hands. We will surely not kill you." But then they came to Lehi, and the Philistines came shouting, and the enemy was getting ready to overtake him. The enemy was getting ready to rush in. But then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became as flax that has caught fire, and the bonds melted off his hands. What does that scripture show you? Where the Spirit of the Lord ain't, there's bondage. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, it gave him freedom. And when you can come to Christ and you can have a momentary place of rest, a place of freedom. But if you don't learn and thirst and drink off the Word, then you can't maintain that freedom. Look at this. Samson found a fresh jawbone of a donkey and he put his hand out and he took it and he struck 1,000 men. And Samson said with that jawbone, he said, heaps upon heaps, jawbone of a donkey, I have struck down thousands. But as soon as he had finished, as soon as he got that rest from the Lord, that victory, as soon as he was finished, he said, he was very thirsty and he called upon the Lord and said, you have granted me the salvation by your hand of your servant. And shall I not now I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the enemy, the uncircumcised? And God split open the hollow place that is at Lehi. The water came out from it. And when Samson drank it, his spirit returned and he was revived. See, we have to get in our words so the Spirit can revive us and give us strength. Without God's Spirit, I am nothing. I can't do it in my own strength, ever. You cannot do it in your own strength. I just want to pray. Father, I just thank you, God, for this opportunity, God. Although I'm nervous and I'm a newbie, God, I will grow and I will advance, God. And I will learn to speak this word with the authority that you have given to me, God. So God, I just thank you for the opportunity of being allowed to be up here today, God. For your word says in Hebrews 5 that no one can just be appointed a priest, God. It has to be ordained by you, Lord. So God, if it wasn't for your will, God, I wouldn't be up here today, God. But Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that this seed would be fruitful, God. For I don't want it to be like the seed that fell on the rocky soil, God. I don't want it to be the seed that fell on the footpath, my Lord God. See, life will swallow you up and the cares and worries of life can snatch the seed from your heart. The enemy will snatch the seed from your heart and you cannot be fruitful if you don't get in this word. But if you get in this word, this seed will grow and it will produce a fruit. It will be fruitful and it will multiply. So Father, I thank you, God, that you would pierce every soul, every spirit in here today, my Lord God. That you would use this word, God, to just open up their hearts to receive you, my Lord God. I just want to bless you today, God, and I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, you're amazing, Lord.